It's time for Rhema for Today.
You see, you read such scriptures as that, they don't seem real to you. Because you see, you're still looking at it from a natural standpoint. Instead of your spirit being the dominant one, your spirit being king in your life, that means your spirit rules. Too many times people's minds rule. Their own thinking. You see, they're acquainted with their own shortcomings and mistakes. Well, what's that got to do with him that's in you? I mean, he's still in there even if you did make a mistake. He didn't leave. Because Jesus said, way back in John the 14th chapter, he said, I'll pray the Father, 16th, 17th verse, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you for 2 weeks. No, forever.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin wraps up his teaching, The Integrity of God's Word, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Today's the last day for this special offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Disease and sickness and failure are the things of the past. Always think of them as being in the past. I'll make the whole statement again. I want you to think on it. I want you to meditate on it. If you don't get anything else out of what I said today, get that. Don't let it get away from you. When the believer in the quietness of his own spirit recognizes the utter integrity of the Word of God, disease and sickness and failure are the things of the past. You see, disease, sickness, and failure do not belong to the kingdom of God. They belong to the kingdom of Satan. We're delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Here's another great verse. Do you wear your shouting clothes today? One of my favorites, 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You see, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If that's true, I believe. Do you believe in the utter integrity of the Word of God? Settle on that, see. Then if that's true, if greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, then this is a true statement. The power and the ability of God is in you right now. You don't have to fast to get it. You don't have to promise God you'll be better if he'll give it to you. You don't have to make some missionary pilgrimage to get it. You don't have to give a large sum of money to some church or build a shrine somewhere. It's yours. It's in you right now. Glory to God. I said, if the greater one is in you, and you just got through saying the greater one's in you, then the power and the ability of God is in you right now. And you stand victor in every combat. Now let's read that verse again. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them. Them who? Well, read the first three verses. You find out he's talking about devils, demons, and evil spirits. Have overcome them. In other words, you're a victor. You're a victor in every combat. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Because you've got the power and the ability of God in you right now. You stand victor in every combat. You have no apologies to make for weakness, because God is the strength of your life. Now what God says is, God's word's true. There's no supposition about it. It's an absolute present tense reality. But now why do we fail? Because of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. You see, you read such scriptures as that, and they don't seem real to you. Because you see, you're still looking at it from a natural standpoint. Instead of your spirit being the dominant one, your spirit being king in your life, your spirit being king in your life, that means your spirit rules. Too many times people's minds rule. Their own thinking rule. See, they're acquainted with their own shortcomings and mistakes. Well, what's that got to do with him that's in you? I mean, he's still in there even if you did make a mistake. He didn't leave. Because Jesus said, way back in John the 14th chapter, he said, I'll pray the Father, 16th and 17th verse, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you for 2 weeks. No, forever. That's a mighty long time, isn't it? Forever. I said forever. That's the way God intended that he abide with you forever. Jesus himself declared, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, why do we get in trouble? Because we either don't know what the Bible said, or else we don't believe what the Bible said, or we don't act upon what the Bible said. Or we're trying to get there some other way. Now, I'll give you an illustration. One time, while on the evangelistic field, as we called it, I was holding a meeting, did hold a meeting for a number of weeks, 7 weeks in one church. The pastor said to him, Brother Hagin, I believe the Lord's been dealing with me. And you pray about it. He didn't know the Lord had already been dealing with me. I didn't even know that anything like this is coming up. And I couldn't understand why God was dealing with me about this church. But he said to me, I'm going away on 3 months leave of absence. And I believe God had been dealing with me about you staying here, just staying on, doing the preaching. Now, the associate pastor will do all the visitation, the pastoral work. You just do the preaching, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Friday night. Well, he didn't know. God, and I didn't even tell him. God already, I couldn't figure it out. I thought, what's he, you know, we just kept running the meeting week after week, 7 weeks of revival. Two services a day, except on Saturday, took Saturday off. What's he trying to, you know, I knew God dealing with me something about this church. And I knew it couldn't be the pastor of the church. They got a pastor. And then secondly, the Lord had told me the last pastor that I had, that's the last church you'll ever pastor. But you see, that's what it was. Then when he said that, well, then I realized what God was talking about is you stay here just temporarily for these 3 months, you see. And so I did. I ran day services right on. Max, we had 23 weeks of day services, Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning teaching. Now, he already had, this church, this pastor, had already had an evangelist that was scheduled to come in and hold a meeting, you see. So naturally, he came on in. Well, I remember one night, he was, well, bless his heart. I mean this to be constructive, not destructive criticism, but he's going to preach on divine healing. But instead of preaching on divine healing, he preached about how sick he had been and how that God couldn't heal him. And so the doctors finally located what was wrong with him and put him in the hospital and how long he'd stayed and how he suffered and how many shots he had. And I thought, dear God, nobody's going to have any faith for healing. And he gets through. I mean, so then he called for a healing line. Didn't anybody come? I guess they thought, dear Lord, we don't want him to lay hands on us. We might get what he had. Well, I could sympathize with the poor fellow, the struggle that he had. But that's not preaching divine healing. Because God never did heal him anyway. In fact, he said, I still have some of that because of this long siege he had. It affected him. He said, sometimes, in fact, even during this meeting, sometimes I can feel the effect of it. I can't hardly get out of bed. Then come down, I'll pray for you, and God will heal you. Well, if I'd had that, I wouldn't have told it. I just went ahead and preached what the Bible said about it. Somebody would have believed what the Bible said and got it. Are you listening? But then didn't anybody come? Bless his heart, didn't anybody come to be healed? And so he wants to pray for somebody, I guess. And so he said, well, everybody that just has any kind of need at all, come down here and I'll pray for you. So there, several people came down. And I stood there and observed it. He came to a young lady, a member of this church, saved, filled, Holy Ghost. He asked her, what'd you come for? She said, well, actually, and I'm not making fun of her either, I'm just stating facts. So he said, what's your problem? She said, she began to cry. Said, now where I work, In this particular office or division of this company, they are 20 girls. Some of them were typists, some of them were clerks and different things, you see. And then there was one man that was a supervisor over that group, you see. I think Rita is 19 of them, and he made the 20th. And she said, "I'm the only Christian there." And then she began just to cry her heart out. But you felt sorry for her. "They just make it so hard on me. Oh, I tell you, you know, I just dread going in there because I know what they're going to do, you know." Well, now, without thinking, he just said, "Bless God," said, "I'm just going to pray that God will give you a special anointing to put you over." So he laid hands on her and prayed with a great deal of vim, vigor, and vitality. And then he passed on to the next one. Well, she went back, there's a prayer room behind the platform. She went back there to that prayer room. So when the service is over, I went back that way to try to locate her. And sure enough, she's still kneeling there, just praying her heart out, crying, praying in tongues. And I knelt down beside her. You know, the way she'd cry, just tear your heart out. You just felt so sorry for her. And I knelt down beside her and touched her on the shoulder, and you know, and she stopped and looked, you know. And I said, "May I speak to you?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Now, if I understand it correctly, you went up there a while ago where you work. There's, you know, you're the only Christian there among 20 people. 19 others are not saved." "Yeah, that's right." "Now, our brother out front," I didn't criticize him, I just said, "he prayed that God would give you a special anointing to put you over." "Yeah." "Well," I said, "did you get it?" "Well, I don't know whether I did or not." "Well," I said, "how are you going to know whether you did or not?"
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's 4-CD set entitled Knowing God as Your Father. We're also offering Kenneth W. Hagin's book, Listen to Your Heart. Last but not least is Kenneth E. Hagin's mini-book entitled Obedience and Finances. All these items at the special price of $30. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. Rhema. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Camp meeting coming up very quickly.
Oh, yes.
July the 21st through the 26th. The time, you know, we have services morning, afternoon, and night. And then we have a summer blitz for the youth, 6th through the 12th graders. Yeah. And then also children's ministry, infants through the 5th graders.
So there's
services.
Something for the whole family.
There is something for the whole family.
I know several churches that use this as their youth camp, the summer blitz as their youth camp, because they can get hotel rooms where they serve breakfast.
That's right.
And then Byron over at the NRC at the snack over there, actually it's more than a snack bar. He provides really good meals at a really
reasonable price. Yes.
So hey, think about all that. But go right now to rhema.org/CM and find out all about it. Make plans to get there, okay?
That's right.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will start a new and powerful teaching from the Rhema Archives. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.